Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. It is the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and here we are on the first Sunday of February. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Doing well. And January came and went. Here we are, the second month of 2024.
There we go, and some greetings to everyone.
A little later in the program, we will share with you the word of life for February, but right now, Bishop, if you would share today's gospel with us.
This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter, verses 29 through 39. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew who he was. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went out into a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In today's Gospel, we hear how Jesus started his public ministry in Capernaum. And he surprises the people because he's teaching something that is very new to them.
Yes, and I think, you know, one of the things we're talking about, something new, as in many things, it is new, but it's not new. In fact, Jesus himself, when he talked about the new commandment to love one another, he said it's not new, but it is new. It's kind of the new, the way it's done. When we're looking at who Jesus is, he is the one who is sent by God. He is God himself. And this is what we celebrated a few weeks back at Christmas time throughout the Epiphany and the baptism time of the Christmas season, that Jesus is God and he is the incarnate God. So what he says is always in line with what was in the Jewish scriptures as well, from the prophets, the story of salvation. He is that completion of that. It is all found in him, the way, the truth, and the life. So what we see is not just a prophetic word or a prophetic person, but the word. We see the person who has come to bring God's healing, God's mercy in person. And I think especially in our day and time, we need to see the newness of Jesus, the newness of his word every day, that what could the word of God change in our daily life if we paid attention to it. What I thought was interesting in this gospel, the short gospel for this morning as well, is three kind of motions. We see Jesus leaving the synagogue. That's where he was teaching. That's where he was preaching. And then he went to service. So he served the mother-in-law of Simon Peter in his house. So it was a small place, but he went probably to take a break from his teaching and preaching in the synagogue to be there. And Simon Peter's mother was ill. So he served her. He served her by touching her, raising her up, and curing her fever. And others came with their diseases and their possessions by certain demons. So he was there not only to preach And I think some of us do a lot of good doing preaching. I mean, in the sense mm-hmm. we preach to people, even in families, we preach to our children. We preach to these people. We preach to them. We tell them what they should be doing or what is good. But there's also that point of contact where we have to serve. People will remember the service more than the word. This is part of evangelization. They see the actual exemplification in real life about what was preached. So there's the service element of healing. But then I think it's interesting that he went off and prayed. He left the crowds. He left the commotion, you might say, and I'm sure that excitement of this new mm-hmm. stuff that they were seeing. And then he went off to pray, because the source of power for Jesus, the source of power for any of us who try to live a spiritual life, to live the life, the Christian life, in or our faith life here in this world, is the power of prayer. Because it has to be rooted in the supernatural, in the divine, in the transcendence of life. We don't have those powers here. And so Jesus constantly went off to a deserted place, to a mountainside, to a place away from everyone where he could pray. So we have service and we have prayer. And then the final little part there, he then told him, I have to go also by, he said, everyone's looking for you. So he came and got him as they usually did, got him out of his prayer and said, you got to go here because people want you. They're looking for you. They've seen what you've done. And it's almost like he, you know, I'm sure it's certainly not a sign of lack of compassion, but he said, I have to go on because he was so in touch with God. No, I have to go to the nearby villages so that I may preach there too, that I may also bring what you've seen here in Capernaum, what you've heard here in Capernaum. I also have to go to the synagogues in nearby villages to preach the truth, to preach the gospel, to preach the newness that you spoke of at the beginning there as well. So if you put all of that together, it's almost like four scenes actually. But the elements there is what struck me in this gospel. There is the element of prayer. And I think that is the very heart. Sometimes when we see a gospel, we get fascinated with that newness of healing. So he healed these people, and wow, if we could only see that today. And so we get very taken away by that physical, visible element of his power. But the real power was his prayer. And I think we need to relook at that, especially with the situation of our country, our world, our families, everything. The power of prayer. Jesus' life was rooted in his union with the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, I was thinking the other day, how many of us validly say that prayer?
Slowly enunciating the words and thinking about them.
Your will be done. I mean, the person who is truly a person of faith turns everything over to the Father. And that's what Jesus did. He turned everything over to the Father. Your will be done. And that's what that his prayer was. And that's why when he taught us prayer, it was your will be done, your kingdom come, save us from our sins, help us to forgive others, et cetera, et cetera. So the power is in prayer. And then the third element is the word, the power of the word. We should be, I heard this image the other day. I'm sure you've seen, you take a piece of bread or something and you dunk it into gravy or you dunk it into wine as they used to do in those days, mm-hmm. and it absorbs. That is the image we should have of the word of God.
Oh, I like that.
Our lives should be absorbed by the word of God. Not that we don't live in the world, we do. But what do we bring? What light do we bring to the world around us? We bring our complaints. We bring, unfortunately, our anger. We bring our violence. We bring everything to the world. But how much difference we could make if we brought the word living in us, absorbed in us, and then by what we say, by what we do, It's the word of God in action. So if we look at it again, prayer with God, turning everything over to him. The powers are his. Serving people. And that service is filled with the Word of God, which is the truth of our lives, the only thing that can make us happy, the only thing that can make us happy permanently into eternity. Prayer, word, and service, those are the things that should really mark our lives if we want to be faithful to our calling as followers of Christ. Prayer, the word, and service. And for us as Catholics especially, the Eucharist is what makes us one. If we are living who we really are as we come to the Eucharist and partake of the body and blood of Christ, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, he unites us as one body, not a divided, not a cantankerous group of people, but a people who are united in Jesus Christ. And that is our mission to this world today.
Bishop, when you were talking about the Eucharist, I was recalling something that I had read about how we as a culture are more distracted. We're easily moved from one thing to another. We don't really focus as much as maybe, say, we did years ago, maybe because of social media and our technology. It's easy to lose focus. And throughout all of that, though, we have to be reminded that Jesus remains present in the Eucharist. And our short attention span sometimes prevent us from truly embracing him, reaching out and touching the experience of the Eucharist at Holy Mass.
Sure, and I think, you know, you go back to this scene today in Capernaum, the people wanted to see him, they wanted to touch him, they wanted to be near him. And the Eucharist is that miracle for us, that we believe that that is his true presence because that's what he said. This is my body, this is my blood given up for you. We want to touch that, we want to partake of that, we want to be present to that and let him be present to us in that very, very special way.
Thank you so much, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will share with you the Word of Life for February. We will be right back.
The Knights of Columbus, St. Jude Castle, number 11238, is presenting a night of romance, fun, and entertainment at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, 3502 Saratoga Boulevard, Saturday, February 17th. 6 till midnight. The evening begins with a delicious dinner, then dancing to requested DJ music, and laughs by the carload, courtesy of a professional comedian. All proceeds will benefit the Knights of Columbus College Scholarship Fund. Celebrate Valentine's with your sweetheart. For event tickets for couples or a table of eight, call Daniel Solis, 361-658 1295.
The Schoenstatt Movement has a very special celebration planned for married couples, Saturday, February 17th at 4 p.m. It's a renewal of the covenant of love with Mary and the sacrament of marriage. Following the opening prayer will be dinner and a presentation, followed by Holy Mass. All will take place at 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. Married couples may get more information and register for this event by calling the Schoenstatt office at 361-992-9841.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and it is the first Sunday of February. We are sharing with you now the Word of Life. Bishop, if you would now share that with us.
Yes, you know, I think as we read these, it's always fresh, it's always new. We sometimes, through our own education, we think we understand something because somebody taught us that years ago. But the Holy Spirit is alive and active in our lives and in the church. And so we always have new insights. And I think these words of life help us to see the new insights, especially because the world changes, the culture changes, and not that the gospel changes, but it gives us new light to enact the Word of God in those situations. The February word of life is, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. From Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 36. The evangelist Luke liked to use the word mercy to emphasize the greatness of God's love. It could be said that in sacred scripture, this word expresses the maternal aspect of God's love. It describes how he cares for his creatures, raises them up, consoles them, and never tires of welcoming them. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, the Lord promised his people, quote, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem, end quote. Mercy is an attribute that is also recognized and proclaimed by Islamic tradition. Among the 99 beautiful names of God, those most frequently used by Muslims are the Most Merciful and the Most Clement. This passage of the Gospel describes Jesus making a bold and challenging proposal in front of the crowds who had come from both nearby and distant areas and towns. He tells everyone to imitate God the Father precisely in this merciful love. This may seem an impossible and unattainable goal. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. From the perspective of the gospel, if we want to imitate the Father, we should follow Jesus every day and learn from him to be the first to love. This is what God himself always does with us. This is the spiritual experience described by the Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Quote, every day the Christian community sings, I have received mercy. I also received this gift when I had closed my heart to God, when I was lost and could not find my way back. It was then that the Word of God came to meet me. I understood that He loves me. Jesus found me. He also was close to me. He alone. He comforted me. He forgave all my errors and did not blame me for evil. When I was his enemy and did not keep his commandments, he treated me like a friend. I find it hard to understand why the Lord loves me so, why I am so dear to him. I cannot understand how he wanted to succeed in winning over my heart with his love. I can only say, I have received mercy. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This passage invites us to bring about a dramatic change in our lives. Every time we meet with a situation that could leave us feeling offended, instead of adopting an attitude of rejection, irrefutable judgment, and revenge, we can choose to show forgiveness and mercy. It is not so much a matter of doing this out of a sense of duty, but rather of accepting Jesus' invitation to pass from the death of selfishness to the true life of communion. We will make the joyful discovery that we have received the same DNA as the Father, who does not definitively condemn anyone, but gives everyone a second chance, opening horizons of hope. This choice will also help us to prepare the ground for fraternal relationships from which a community can develop that is oriented towards peaceful and constructive coexistence. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This is what the founder of the Focolare Chiari Lubic suggested in a commentary on November of 2000 when meditating on the passage from Matthew 5:7 about the happiness of those who practice mercy. Quote, the theme of mercy and forgiveness pervades the whole gospel, and mercy is precisely the ultimate expression of love, of charity, the one that fulfills it and makes it perfect. Therefore, let us try to live this love for others in the form of mercy in our relationships. Mercy is a love that knows how to welcome every neighbor, especially the poorest and the most in need. It is a love that does not measure. It is abundant, universal, and concrete, a love that tends to generate reciprocity, which is the ultimate goal of mercy. Without it, there would only be justice, which serves to create equality, but not fraternity. Even if it seems difficult and daring, let us ask ourselves in front of every neighbor, how would this person's mother have behaved toward him or her? It is a thought that will help us to understand and live according to the heart of God.
Again, a beautiful scripture that is shared with us in the February Word of Life. And as you read that last quote from Kira Lubick, how would a person's mother behave toward him or her? I went back to the beginning of this where it said that the word expresses the maternal aspect of God's love, and it's unconditional.
Exactly. I thought the same thing, and that's quoted. You know, we think, well, where does that come from? Well, If you look, it's right there from the prophet Isaiah, who said, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, as a prophet speaking for God, so will I, God, comfort you. So God has that maternal, inhuman, God's not human, of course, but God is love. But in understanding it humanly, we understand the mother's love that Isaiah says here, as a mother's love, as we've hopefully all experienced, is a bit different. I mean, it's characteristically different, and it's unconditional, and that's what God's love expresses for us. So it's a beautiful thought.
And as I told you before, Bishop, when we were reading this ahead of the program, looking at it, the point that it makes is that it's very easy for us to be merciful to some people, while others, a little bit more difficult to do that.
Yeah, and this is the great change we're undergoing, and I think it's so hard, and it's hard for all of us. We were brought up a certain way, especially those of us that are of a certain age, but brought up in a certain way, and then to see the world change around us so much, and we can't hold on. I mean, it's impossible. And especially for us as people of faith to be irrelevant in the society that we are living in, or to create enclaves of the perfect world, and according to our minds, but we are here as evangelizers. And so we have to never doubt the truth of the gospel, never ignore it, but live it out. And I know when I was growing up, I never heard anyone say, live, the gospel. And yet when we do ordinations, it's understand what you read, teach what you read, and practice what you preach. I mean, those words, every time I do an ordination, either for the deacons or for priests, it's practice. In other words, put into life the very word that you proclaim. And I think that is the great challenge for us as we move forward, whether we are in service in society, whether we are at work, whether we're in a bank, whether we're teaching in school. This is not a church thing, to limit it to the walls of a church where we hear the word of God on Sunday or read it in our homes. It needs to enter into our public practice of life. Imagine if people were merciful, and again, it's understanding mercy. I think I said this earlier or in the last session. To understand mercy is not just rolling over, but it's loving people. I have to sometimes deal with adults, but once you have a rapport with them, you can say things that might be strong otherwise. But to help them grow, help them to become who you can see, the word that God's word can bring them to be, that's mercy. Mm-hmm. So it's not just sitting there and saying, oh, that's sweet, that's nice. No, it's sometimes being challenging and to challenge people so that they can be truly who God wants them to be.
So is a challenge to be merciful to maybe a negative person, making it that much more of a challenge? Because it's not about just constantly running. It's about getting to know them as people and helping them grow.
Well, that's the heart of it. If we don't treat one another with the dignity and respect of who the other person is, then we have nothing to say to them. But if we build that relationship first, be their friend. I think that Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote there, you know, when I was so far away and I was a sinner and all this kind of stuff, and I rejected, God was still my friend. And mercy expressed the fact that you're my friend. And it's at that point we can listen to the truth, even if the truth hurts. We can listen to it and hear it and do something about it.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for your insight and reflection today. If you would now end with a prayer.
Let us pray. God, our Father, teach us to be men and women who pray, men and women who can serve those closest to us and those who are far away from us. And teach us always to be open to your word, the word that can penetrate our lives and heal our wounds and heal our memories and also our minds. Help us to be your word in action. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, bless our week, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
Calling all strong men of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. You are invited to St. Philip the Apostle Parish, 3513 Cimarron Boulevard, to discuss each upcoming weekend's Mass readings for a deeper and better understanding prior to attending weekly Mass. Men will be able to study Scripture through the presentation of a video by Dr. Brant Petrie. The meetings run now through June 29th. On the second and fourth Saturdays of each month, from 9 until 10:30 a.m. The meetings are free, and breakfast will be provided. You are invited to join other strong men in faith and fellowship. For more information, call 361-549-6099.
Starfest, the annual fundraiser presented by Our Lady Star of the Sea Parish on Causeway Boulevard in Corpus Christi, takes flight Sunday, February 25th, from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. All are welcome to enjoy the fun, food, and fellowship. For your consumption will be plates filled with delicious barbecue meals, loads of music, games, and a live auction. Your meal will consist of barbecue, beans, homemade potato salad, dessert, and tea. Drive-through service will also be available. To get the full story, call the parish office.
361-883-4507.